Well, take your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1 will be our text today, verses 13 through 25. So if you find your place, and if you're physically able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. I'll read the odd verses by myself, and you can join me out loud on the even verses in 1 Peter and chapter 1, and I'll begin in verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is in you to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto an unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. I was thinking about Father's Day, of course, and something kind of stuck in my mind. And I guess as I was thinking, not only, of course, of God and what he means to us, and particularly what he means to me, but also my father. Both of my grandfathers are now in heaven, just the heritage there of that, and but my father, and of course I think of my father-in-law as well, and then myself as a father, and you know, it ought to be, what is a father and how is a father supposed to be? And you know, some of you here today are fathers, or perhaps you're in the stage of wanting to become a father. Or not yet a father, perhaps. But how do we know what to be as a father? Does it just kind of come with the territory? You know, I mean, a boy is born, and by the way, let's be really quiet because we don't want the other people to know that this is how it really is. You know, because they're kind of confused. They think that you can choose to be a boy or a girl or whatever you want to be. But we'll just tell them, for the sake of argument, that you're born a boy. That's just kind of how it works. And you grow up, right, as a young man. And when it comes time, you just know that I'm a father. This is how it's supposed to happen, right? You just come across that by yourself. Or maybe we take a class, a course, college credits, right, or high school credits, and you know, fatherhood, this is how it's supposed to be done. No, I don't think so. So, men, how is it that we know how to be a father? By, come on, example. By example, right? By what we've seen, by what we've experienced, right? We know about fatherhood, and ladies, likewise, you know about motherhood by example. And so I just kind of thought of this idea, and of course I believe that the Lord puts these things in a preacher's heart. The example of a father. The example of a father. What is the example of a father? Well, I don't think we can get away from this particular fact that it only can be God the Father. God the Father is our example. What is an example? It's a pattern. It's a copy. It's something proposed to be imitated. It's something that's proposed for a pattern. Or a person to be patterned after. Or one whose conduct is worthy of imitation. That one got me right there. That one got me right there. Is there any being else than God to be a pattern that's worthy of being imitated? I mean, really, don't learn to act like me and be like me, please. The world hasn't. One idiot's enough. I mean, that's an, we don't need any more, okay? No, who should we pattern our lives after? But God. God is the example. And that's why I like, I hate, this hurts me. That's why I like English for this reason. The one. Not many. There aren't multiple examples. There's one. The example of a father is God. God's our example. It's the pattern. It's the copy. It's the thing to be imitated. And in our text here, we read through this thing here, and I love how Peter starts this out in verse 14, or 13, he's talking about Christ and these things about our life in Him through salvation. And then he says, as obedient children. What do children have? Okay, a little more today. Let's get connected. I mean, I know you're thinking about steak, guys, because I told you for weeks. How do you spell Father's Day? Yeah, steak. Okay, very good. Good job. A couple of the cards that I got say, Happy Steak Day. I think I like that. And my wife, what a dear. We are having steak for lunch, amen? Hallelujah. Okay, good deal. Sometimes, you know, I like cutting into a thick, big, thick, I'm going to get off on this soapbox for a minute, okay? Big, thick, juicy steak. But sometimes, there's other ways to have steak, you know? So today we're going for the thin-cut sirloin, all right, on toasted bread with some pepper jack cheese and sautéed mushrooms and onions and green peppers. You know, all kind of all married and melded and melted into a nice, gooey, crunchy, crispy sandwich. Steak sandwich. Y'all want to come over? All right, so that's where we're going, that direction today. Now, let me get off of that. What was I talking about? I forgot. Oh, Steak Day, Happy Father's Day. Oh, well, I lost that rabbit, wherever he went. Oh, back to the text. So, we have this thing, children. Ah, that's where I was. Thank you. Hallelujah. I lose rabbits sometimes when I'm chasing them, but ultimately the goal is to catch them and eat them, okay? That's the way to do it. Now, as obedient children, and listen to what he says. Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. So, folks, listen. Before Christ, before knowledge of God and these things, we were following a different example. We're fashioning ourselves after this former lust. Remember, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a... Yeah. And didn't Jesus tell Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, ye must be born again. That means new family, which means a new father. Not the father of the children of disobedience, but the father of the children of obedience. He says, as obedient children, not fashioning, don't follow that example. Because can I say there are many bad examples that we shouldn't follow? But one example that we should follow. He says, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. And certainly it was, wasn't it? Because when we come to the knowledge of the truth, what happens? We talked about in Sunday school, that conversion, a change of life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then he says the statement, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. What's God saying there? Follow my example. This is the pattern that's worthy of imitation. Not any other pattern. Hey, listen. There may be quote-unquote good people out there. But that's not who we're supposed to pattern our lives after. You say, but Pastor, you're supposed to be an example to us. Yes, I am. But my example ought to emulate his example. I ought to be a pattern of the pattern. Not a pattern of my own. Do you understand? So really, you're not following after me. You're following after Christ. Does that make sense? We need to make sure that our pattern is from the right pattern. So that others would want to follow not only our pattern, but his pattern because of the same one. They're not two different patterns. And listen, folks, let me just tell you right here and now. If my pattern ever changes shape, don't follow it. I'm telling you right now, kick me out, get rid of me. It ought not to be that way. Because it's not the right pattern. It needs to line up with his pattern. That's how it's supposed to be. Because he is the pattern that is worthy of imitation. The example of a father ought to come from God the Father. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 5. The first idea that I want to explore today is this example of a father, the example of a father, is a perfect example. A perfect example. Are you there? Look at verse 43. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Well, it's a perfect example. Okay, let me ask you a question. Is there any example in life more perfect than God? Nope. Ladies, when you're going to sew something, right? Do you make a copy of 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 a pattern? What is the best thing to use? The original. Why? Because it's perfect. Perfect. God says we're supposed to follow his example because he wants us to be perfect as he is. What is so difficult or what is so wrong with wanting to follow God? Now, are we always going to succeed? Ladies, as you're cutting out that from that perfect pattern, is there a possibility you may make some mistakes? Why? Because you're human, right? You're human. Does that mean that there's something wrong with the pattern? No. Just maybe your hand's a little shaky or your husband scared you or something. You snipped the wrong direction, you know, or a roach ran by and you're like, yeah, whatever the case may be. I don't know. Things in life happen, don't they? Distracting us from making that thing perfect as it ought to be. We're not talking about that. He says, follow my pattern. It's a perfect pattern. In James chapter 1, it says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. This pattern doesn't change. No shadow of turning. For of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. We're supposed to follow this perfect example. And God is that example. Hey, aren't you glad that God allows for our imperfectness in following him? For if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. Folks, God knows our infirmities. And all he asks is for us to follow the example. This example that never fades, that never changes shape, that is unmovable, that never changes. I am the Lord. I change not. He's the same, folks. His pattern doesn't alter. It's the same. And we can follow it. And may I say, we should follow it. For are we not his workmanship? Created in Christ Jesus, what? Unto good works. That we should walk in them. God wants us to follow his perfect example. As God was instructing his people, in Deuteronomy 32, the Bible says, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew. The small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. God's example is perfect, folks. And it's the one we should follow. And if we stumble, we should return to him. We should return to the pattern. We should confess it and forsake it and return. In Genesis 17, God told Abram. It says, when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Walk before me and be thou perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Are we not instructed in the New Testament to be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service? And be not conformed to this world. Remember back in our text, we're not supposed to follow after these things in our ignorance. But we're supposed to choose God in his perfect example. Because he's holy, we should be holy. Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
perfect.
You know, it is a comfort and a joy to know that we have a God and to know that we have a book that is perfect, that we can follow. We don't have to question, well, should I follow it? Shouldn't I follow it? Is this the right line? You know, sometimes I used to work in the copy business, and you'd take a document that wasn't an original, right? And sometimes those lines would become kind of blurred, or sometimes they would kind of show up as a double line, and he's like, well, which one do I follow? I'm confused. It's blurry. I can't really make out all the words, or maybe some of what's that stuff called? Toner. Didn't take or didn't adhere right, and it left spot. Well, is that an E or is that an O? I can't really tell. I don't know. Can I tell you something? This is not confusing. It's crystal clear. He means what he says. He says what he means. It's something we can follow. It's something we can hold to and adhere to. Proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure, the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. God wants us to follow his perfect example. As you take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 6, one more verse about perfection of God's example. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. You know what Paul was saying? I'm following his example. It's set out there, and I'm going to work according to that example, so it comes out perfect the way it should be. Christ in us. Perfect in Christ Jesus. Well, as a father, the example of a father, his example is perfect. Look at Luke chapter 6 here. Look at verse 27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good unto you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Listen to this. Remember this example we've been talking about. The example of a father is perfect. But it's also this. Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Hey, aren't you glad for the merciful example of God? Aren't you glad that God showed you mercy? Could you imagine a world without a merciful God? Wow. No way. I mean, just as much as I can't imagine the world without a perfect God. Could you imagine life without a merciful God? Can I tell you something? We would have no hope at all. For without His mercy, we have nothing. You know that God in His mercy sent His Son? His mercy. He wants us to be saved. God wants us to have mercy. He's merciful. In Exodus 34, the Bible tells us the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with Him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before Him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. And he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. Hey, I've said this before. There were times during the time of Moses that there were some times where Moses said, God, these people are stiff-necked, they're stubborn, kill them. And God said, no, Moses, I can't do that. And then there were times where God said, Moses, I'm going to kill these people because they're stiff-necked and they're not going to... And Moses said, Lord, please don't do that. Aren't you glad those two never got on the same page at the same time? There wouldn't be a children of Israel anymore if that were to take place, I think. But He's merciful. Fathers, have you ever had to show mercy? A time where you needed to show mercy? Why do we do that? Because of the merciful example of God. Well, why should we endeavor to live a perfect life following His example? Because of His example. Why should we even consider showing mercy? Perhaps because of God's example of mercy toward us. You know, because God was merciful to us, we ought to show mercy to others. Have we not received of His mercy? In Psalm 103, the Bible says the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. For as for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him. And His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. Aren't you glad that God's example is a merciful example? Dads, are there times that you have to remember that your children
or just children? Oh, listen, I think we ought to follow God's example. And there are times, certainly, that God did punish His children, and rightfully so. Do you know there are times to show mercy? There are times to but remember that, hey, they're just human, just like me. And God showed His mercy unto me, and I can show mercy unto others. You know, in the book of Jude, the Bible tells us that we're supposed to have compassion on some, making the difference, right? And others save with fear, pulling them from the fire. You know, aren't you glad God doesn't just deal with everybody one way? Just boom, this is it. No, He is understanding. He's merciful. His loving kindness is exemplary. It's an example unto us. In greetings, Paul said to Timothy, "My dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace." Not from Paul to Timothy. He says, from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. He said something similar to Titus. "To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior." So he's saying, where does this come from? This grace, this mercy and peace, this example is God's example of a Father to us. In Titus chapter 3, Paul tells Titus, "Put them in mind to be subject to the principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." What does that sound like to you? Mankind. The natural man. The carnal man. It sounds like children. It sounds like adults. It sounds like teenagers. It sounds like us, does it not? He says, "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us." Mercy is the example of the Father. Take your Bibles and turn to John 15. We'll get there in just a minute. Over in 1 John chapter 4, John writes and says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." What does that sound like to you? That sounds like the third point of our message to me. First of all, a perfect example. And a merciful example. And then lastly today, a loving example. A loving example. To me, these things make the example of a Father. Our Heavenly Father, God who loved us when we did not love Him. God who loved us, and I love it how it says it in John chapter 3 and verse 16. "For God so loved the world." So loved. He says it again here in 1 John If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. What does that sound like? Following an example. An example of love. An example of mercy. An example of perfection. The example of a father. Are you there in John 15? Look at what Jesus said. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, and shall be, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. What does that sound like to you? Example, 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 example. And one following the example, and the other following the example, and the other following the example. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. What does that sound like? The ultimate pattern being followed, and that being followed, and that being followed, and that being followed, and that being followed. God is our Father. If you're born again today, if you know Christ as your Savior, God is your Father. If not, as I mentioned before, you don't have the same Father that we have. But you can have him as your heavenly Father. You can know him through Jesus Christ, his Son. In John, 1 John chapter 2, John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's not following the example, is it? It's not following the pattern. You're going by a different pattern. God is the pattern that we should follow in perfection, in mercy, and in love. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father. Wrong pattern. But is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. In Psalm 37, the Bible tells us the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Hey, folks, if we're following the pattern of God and his example as a father to us, and we stumble and fall, he's right there to hold us up. He's right there to correct it, as long as we stay true to the pattern. It's our example that we're supposed to follow. And just thinking about Father's Day, somehow I couldn't help but think about God. I don't know how an individual could think of Father's Day any other way. Because without Him, we've got nothing. Absolutely nothing. No hope, no peace, no salvation, no way of life, no life at all. Because life as we know it is in God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a perfect example. It's a merciful example. It's a loving example of what a father and a Christian should be. We're commanded to follow the example. We ought to follow the example. We should follow the example. God wants us to follow His example.